It's the regular season finale as we talk some Cleveland Browns football once again on this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville, convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We welcome in the one and only John Tellich. JT, how are we doing today, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Hope you and your great listeners are doing well. It's crazy that we've turned the page, turned the clock, turned the calendar, and we're already in 2023. And so far, I don't write many checks ever nowadays because of online banking, but every check I've written so far has had the correct year, so
I'm off to a phenomenal start.
There you go.
Well said. So before we get to the Browns here, JT, as it is Steelers week and a big one, albeit with the Browns out of playoff contention already, do want to quickly, you know, give a shout out and pass along our prayers and thoughts to DeMar Hamlin and the friends and family of DeMar Hamlin, the safety for the Bills, who underwent just a horrific incident on Monday Night Football. As we tape this on a Wednesday afternoon, all we know is that game's canceled. He's still recovering in the hospital, and you know, no plans to reschedule or play that game or anything like that. Certainly the right call from the NFL, but JT, just a horrifying situation, really.
It really was, because you know, initially they cut away after, you know, he went down and, you know, the play was made, the defensive play that he made took place. He went down, and then when he got up and then fell back down, that was not seen live. You know, we did have the opportunity to see what happened. I think ESPN showed the replay twice, and then they wisely said no more showing of that. And what was amazing to me was, Rocco, was how the folks that were doing the broadcast, whether it was, you know, Buck or Aikman in the booth, and then they tossed it to the studio in Connecticut, where Susie was on with Booger McFarland and Adam Schefter. And I think they all said the most poignant stuff that they were allowed to say. I don't mean there was a mandate to say this or say that, but from what they knew. And so oftentimes, I think in our business, the TV business, they throw you on the air and you literally, you know, just are getting the first bits of information, and you don't want to speculate. That's the worst thing to do. And which led us to a part there where I think ESPN might have been speculating. Someone somewhere told them about a 5-minute warm-up, and that got everybody on social media and fans outraged that how can you even think about playing this game or resuming this game with this young man on the field. We don't know his status. We don't know how horrific this is. There's an ambulance on the field. It's been there for 10 minutes or so. Players are huddled around. I think we saw the commentators doing as much as they could. And I thought also later that night, Ryan Clark, you know, the retired defensive back who's on ESPN, he had an incident in his career, you know, that was horrific as well. And I just thought he was incredibly poignant in his comments about DeMar and about these are humans, and DeMar is a son. DeMar is, you know, a friend. DeMar is a guy who had his heart set on helping people. And I thought it was wonderful how the NFL community of fans from Buffalo, fans from Cincinnati, from all over the country, probably even the world, found out about the toy drive that he had set up. And they did all they could to up that. I think it's somewhere north of $6 million by now, which is I think we saw the good of humanity and how people responded towards him. And, you know, this is a human being. And I think so oftentimes we get caught up in, they use the adages that are almost warlike. We're going to war. We are going into battle. And, you know, I don't think people toss those phrases around lightly or diminish the importance or the incredible consequences that are of wars that like currently we're seeing in Russia/Ukraine. Yeah. And I just thought the community at large was very, very considerate of the Buffalo Bills, was considerate of this young man, and I continue to pray for him, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that. We even saw commentators praying on air a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN just set aside everything, and you know, next thing you know, he's Preacher Dan, and he was praying. And I don't think we've really seen that. A lot of times, we certainly see the players kneeling on the field after a game, mm-hmm. a small circle of players, and they're exchanging how they feel, their thoughts and prayers towards each other. And some people that aren't aware that these are humans or take sports too seriously even go and say, what are these guys? They just, you know, they shouldn't be, consoling each other. They're just, you know, mortal enemies out there on the field at the time. And that's really not the case. They're competitors. They have families. They have lives. They worked real hard to be in this position. And I think it probably drove home to every player, everyone, all 53-man rosters and 32 teams, the suddenness that all of this can be taken away. I'm sure they've had injuries or ankle sprains or ACLs or back injuries and those types, but this was a young man clinging to life. And I know I'm going on and on here, but I just thought my hearts and thoughts and prayers are with him and his family, and I just thought the community of sports fans, players, did beautiful things in how they are thinking of him. And so we were talking before we recorded this. I don't know what you do. Maybe you just don't even have these two teams play the game, and you just declare it a no contest. And if there's a battle between the one or two seed or whatever, you flip a coin. My good buddy Bruce Cunningham, who did sports in Baltimore, basically said as much. He said, why not do that? And he saw the tremendous cooperation that both McDermott and Coach Taylor, the Bengals, had towards each team in the middle of this incredibly tragic situation. And you move on from there. I thought it was, you know, kind of crazy for people to say, are they going to play the game, and worried about, you know, I'm sure people were betting on the game and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, and so, you know, take all that aside. This is a young man we wish nothing but the best for, and the best for these individuals on all these teams that work day in and day out to be at their best to compete in a game that is very, very dangerous, and we saw it play out on Monday night.
Yeah, our thoughts and prayers will certainly continue to be with Damar Hamlin, his friends and family, and we'll kind of see what happens with the results of that game, how they'll play, you know, they'll do the seeding and everything like that moving forward, but certainly the health and safety of Damar Hamlin comes above all of that. So turning our attention to the Browns, JT, it is Pittsburgh Steelers week, a rivalry that you've been around a long time. Well, what is it about this game that really gets people in this city going, no matter the time of the year, no matter the point in the season, no matter the record on either side, this one always has some extra juice?
It really does. And you know, you can go back to the Turkey Jones driving Terry Bradshaw into the ground, or Jack Lambert getting into fights with some of the Browns, or in recent years, about 11 years ago, James Harrison absolutely blistering Colt McCoy, which necessitated and also got the league to be even more stringent in its way that it looks at concussions. We've had some great games. You had years where the Browns couldn't buy a win to save their lives, if you will, against the Steelers. And then they broke through in the mid-80s with Bernie and those guys and tilted the scales somewhat. But for the most part in the new era, it's been, you know, the story was Roethlisberger owned the Browns and Mike Tomlin has owned the Browns. And so now you have an opportunity, the Browns do, coming off a pretty good second half performance against the Commanders. They have a chance to stop Mike Tomlin's streak. He's never been below 500. And they have a chance to knock off the Steelers' faint playoff hopes, or their smaller playoff hopes. And so there's a lot to play for while balancing, maybe getting some guys some playing time. Maybe Jerome Ford gets a few carries, whereas he did get one or two the other day against the Commanders. And you look to the future, but you want to finish off the season with a win over the Steelers. It gets the Browns to 8-9. It makes them, you know, 4-2 in the division. It'll be the first time in years that they have swept the Steelers, which is a huge thing in its own right. And even to finish 6-2, Rocco, in in the conference. Well, that wouldn't be 6-2; it would be 4-2 in the division. Mm-hmm. But to finish 6-2 record-wise, that's why I got off my train of thought there. They'd love to be 4-2 in the conference with the two wins against the Steelers, and then basically you'd be seeing the team transitioning from Jacoby Brissett to Watson, who's starting to kind of feel a little bit better operating day in and day out. They would finish the season with a 6-2 record. So it'd be they'd finish on the upside. They'd be out of the playoffs, but at least they would end their season in a good way. And winning in Pittsburgh on the final, usually the final game in Pittsburgh is when they ask the head coach to please pack up your belongings. You're no longer the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. That's not going to happen. But if the Browns can get a win over the Steelers, that certainly would be a big deal for them.
Certainly would be, and again, a huge implication, not necessarily for the Browns, as they're already out of the postseason, but a chance to ruin that 500 or better, you know, streak for Mike Tomlin, completely officially ruin the chances of Pittsburgh going to the playoffs. Still a lot riding on this game on Sunday, no doubt about that. Quickly going back to that Commanders game, though, JT, one guy in particular I want to ask you about, Grant Delpit. He, boy, just continues to turn that corner, it seems, on a week-by-week basis. Is he somebody that the Browns can all of a sudden find themselves relying on moving forward?
Well, he's given them a lot of encouragement the last several games. He's been somewhat of a ball hawk. He has 4 picks this year, and he had his first multi-pick game of his young career. He's 3 years in, and you all know his first year he didn't play at all because of the Achilles. Mm-hmm. And then his second year was 7 starts, I believe, in 21. Then this year he's I believe started all but one game, and there were games where, you know, people were questioning whether or not he belonged on a starting roster in the NFL, where he was, you know, getting caught in run protection in run play. He was, you know, missing the gaps, he was missing tackles. I still remember that one play against the Patriots where it looked like he didn't even know who had the football. And so there's been a lot of vitriol thrown his way. Get rid of him. He's not a good player. Doesn't belong in the National Football League. And then the last few games and the resurgence with the defense, he's been more of a ball hawk. But again, I think if you play him down low in the box a little bit more frequently, I think he can make some plays for you, which he has done. So it's encouraging. And after 3 years, you know, maybe if he continues to trend upwards, we're looking at a kid that could be a long-term solution. He certainly was great in college. I mean, he was a two-time, 2 years in a row, All-American, Thorpe winner, has all the ingredients, played at the highest level with the best team in the land. And you want it to work out very much so because, you know, they did start to make some strides, especially that second half against the Commanders. I thought it was really cool, Rocco, not to expand too much on the game, but when they gave up that 21-play, 96-yard, 11 minutes and 37-second drive, you thought there is no more dominance that a team can show, an offense can show, towards a defense. And you thought, oh, these guys are cooked. They had only scored 3 points in the first half, but they came out in that third quarter, 3 and out, and then the first TD drive that Watson engineered. And you got to look at all those TD drives. There were 63 yards, 89 yards, and 71 yards drives. And all of them ended with quote-unquote kind of explosive plays, which is, I believe, you know, that's been what they have wanted to do all along. They love to run the football, but if you can have those explosive plays like Cooper commanded twice and then Donovan Peoples-Jones did the other time, then that bodes well for you as you go forward.
What did you think about them moving Myles Garrett around that defensive front, lining him up in the middle, on the outside where he normally is? It worked quite a bit. I thought, looking back at some of the Twitter tape, I guess you could say, after the game, is that something we could see more of this week against Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I would imagine that they will, and on the one play you had Myles Garrett was lined up over the center, but he was in a stand-up position. So, which my point is that you didn't know actually where he was going to attack. And he has lined up on the edge on the left side, but obviously his biggest place where he lines up is on the edge on the right side with Clowney on the left side. But if you can move things around with him in the middle occasionally, not let them sit down and know that, oh, he's always going to come over the defense's right side on the edge, so your tackle can have a tight end chip him to help out. Or a lot of games, some games I saw, they left that poor tackle out there on the edge alone against Miles, and that's not smart. So, yeah, good little wrinkle, and I think you wanted to see more innovation from Joe Woods from the jump. It seems like occasionally he has flashes of brilliance, if you will, or ideas, and executes them, but I think you wanted to see more of that, and I think that's another reason why his future in Cleveland has been speculated to be very much in doubt, even despite, you know, what's happened in the last few weeks with the defense.
Well, he's got one more chance for his defense to get it done this season, at least, as they'll take on a bit of a new-look Steelers, from the first time around these two met. New quarterbacks on both sides, as we mentioned, Deshaun Watson obviously in for Jacoby Brissett this time around. But on the other side of the equation, Kenny Pickett, the rookie, now starting in place of Mitch Trubisky, who started the game in Cleveland back in, week five that was, I think. So what do we make of this game Sunday? Do the Browns have enough juice left in the tank to get this thing done on the road?
Well, I was really impressed with watching the game on Sunday night, what that young kid did to lead the Steelers. Tomlin, he somehow figures a way, but Pickett made a phenomenal, and I think it was the comment was made during the broadcast by Collinsworth or Mike Tirico. If you switch the numbers and the uniforms, and that was a number 15 in white and red with a Chiefs helmet making that play, you would have thought, oh, that's Patrick Mahomes being Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the game. And this kid made that as a rookie, rolling left, escaping trouble, and somehow fitting that perfectly into Najee Harris's hands in the end zone. I thought that was just a phenomenal play. So, shout out to him, to the young QB, who I think is, he'll continue to show that he's got some of that moxie that you want to see. And so the division is loaded with Burrow and Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson and then Kenny Pickett. So it only bodes for more exciting AFC North football as we head forward.
Yes, sir, it does. And we get one more taste of it here in the 2022-2023 season on Sunday as the Browns hope to play a bit of a spoiler role in Pittsburgh against Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. JT, thank you as always, my friend. A bit of a belated Happy New Year to you as we finish our first conversation here in 2023. And we'll do it one more time next week as we recap the Steelers game and this Browns season as a whole.
I look forward to it. Great chat with you as always, Rocco, and we'll talk to you and your outstanding listeners next week.